about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And you don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
What happens when there is a perceived pressure to make the best decision? I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head, made possible in part by Lakeway Regional Medical Center, providing comprehensive care for complex brain and spine conditions. Today, decision-making and happiness.
So there was some really interesting work that got done about careers. So you could ask yourself, how do I know if I've made the right career choice? It turns out that people who enter the workplace have often go in with one of two distinct orientations to thinking about work. One is there's a work out there that I'm going to love and I have to find it. That's a kind of an argument from fit. I have to find the work that's going to fit me. And then there's the learning version of it, which is I'm going to learn to love the work I do. Those people who enter the workplace saying, there are lots of things I might learn to love, and if I go into my workplace trying to find a way to love it, those people often end up sticking with their jobs longer and often end up loving the work that they do because they found the elements of that that they love, even if they didn't like it at first. Whereas those people who believe it's all about fit leave jobs fairly quickly when they find something that they don't love to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things that this plays up is that most of the choices that we make are things that there's a lot of dynamics in there. It's not that this choice is the right choice for me now and always. It's that this choice brings me on a journey in which I'm going to live with the consequences of that choice, and the environment is going to continue adapting over time. So we need to recognize that a lot of times we make decisions on the basis of information that is not information that's going to be valuable to us in the future.
Yeah. Something that Art said is, I think, really important about learning to love something, because the thing that's interesting about that, when people are told, you just need to find your passion, what we've really said to them, actually, you don't have a choice now, because there is a passion that's yours and you got to find it. So you don't have a choice now. So you can't learn to love something. It's either going to click or it's not going to click. Well, that's a very different way to think about your life. And actually, in a way that takes away the option of choices, because now you've said, well, there is a passion that's yours and now you just need to find it and everything will be fine. And until you do, it's not going to be right, which is a terrible way to think about going through your life.
Yeah. With many big life choices, we also make decisions on the basis of our beliefs about how life is supposed to go. So for example, think about careers. Let's stick with careers for a second. From the standpoint of earnings, you would be best off making a smaller amount of money early in your career and later in your career, and to maximize the amount of money that you make in the middle of your career for two reasons. First, because chances are you're actually most productive in the middle of your career. And second, because that's actually when you need the money. Those middle years are expensive. And so if you could match your earnings to that period, you would in fact be allocating your resources in an ideal way. And yet, we have actually set up a very different way of thinking about careers, in which you make the smallest amount of money early, and you want to continue making more and more and more and more and more and more and more throughout your career. And you want a continued upward trajectory in the amount of money that you're making, such that late in your career, when you probably have the smallest need for those resources, you're actually making the most, and then you may not actually be at your most productive, depending on who you are. So society now has created a series of beliefs about how careers should go that influence the way that we choose jobs and the way that we make career kinds of choices. We could create this kind of alternative system, but without having societal support for that, no one would actually choose to be a part of that kind of context. And I raise this not just because maybe we should rethink the way that we develop careers, but also because I think there are a lot of decisions that we make in our lives that are constrained by a set of unanalyzed beliefs about how that decision ought to go.
Yeah. And it really gets down to whether you think you can influence your own happiness as you go forward in life. If you think, okay, I make a choice, and once I make that choice, then that's it. I've hit my happiness ceiling now, and nothing can happen. Or you can say, well, I'm going to make this choice based on the information I have. It's the best choice I think I can make right now, knowing that I can learn and adapt and do all kinds of things to make this into a good choice for me.
But there was a set of studies done about 20 years ago that looked at what you chose and whether you elect to make comparisons between what you chose and what you didn't choose. So at any given moment, if you have a bunch of options that you're choosing among, there are some things that all the options have in common, and that generally doesn't help you to make a choice because those, because everyone's got that. And then you've got some set of distinctive properties of one option that aren't part of another. And some of those things are good and some of them are bad. One of the questions is, if I make a particular choice, I could focus on what I have now, or I could focus on what I gave up. The question is, which is better? And the answer is, it depends. And what it depends on is whether the most prominent, unique properties of something are good or bad. You know, you might think, well, why would you ever make a decision based on bad things? Well, maybe because you chose the lesser of evils, right? That all the options were flawed in some way. I mean, we've all lived in like apartments where the apartment you end up living in is squalid, but it's less squalid than where you could have been, right? Maybe not all of us. I, as a graduate student, I certainly had that. I'm living in this rat hole, but at least it's not that rat hole. I dodged a bullet there, literally. And in that situation, I'm better off focusing on what I've got, because then I can just enjoy the wonderful things I have.
Next week, we'll conclude our series on choice and decision making when we talk about why we make decisions based on very little information with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. Be sure to check out this and other episodes of Two Guys at KUT.org and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or SoundCloud. And be sure to follow us on Twitter. We're at the number 2, G-O-Y-H. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.